A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Hi, everybody. We're here today with Ingrid. Thank you for being with us today to share your story. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam. I'm a big fan, and I'm a big fan of the carnivore lifestyle. So thank you for having me.
Awesome. I love it. So obviously, you're here because of the channel name, Carnivore Today, and you have some experience with the carnivore diet. So can you kind of start off with maybe why you had even initially looked into the carnivore diet?
Thanks, Adam. So 10 years ago, I was given a terminal diagnosis. I was diagnosed with an extremely rare type of inflammatory bowel disease, which is an autoimmune disease. It was it's called Cronkite Canada syndrome, and it's a lot like Crohn's disease, but it had some other, you know, kind of like little bells and whistles added on, like a polyposis syndrome. And I had a lot of other things that were happening that's kind of above and beyond Crohn's patient. About 5 years into it and on, you know, medications, and they were powerful, and there's no question that they saved me. I started to think, you know what, the side effects are becoming intolerable, not as bad as active disease, but still, you know, and obviously the medications and everything helped. My doctors didn't think I would live past 3 years. So it was kind of miraculous. And I started to think, oh, there's just got to be something else. And that's when I discovered keto. And I'm like, I was doing all the research and going, well, it can't hurt, because they were starting to up my medications and the side effects were like, I was basically incapacitated for the most part. My quality of life was terrible. I discovered keto, and I thought, it's worth a shot. Within 3 days, my symptoms were about 80% better. I couldn't believe it. So I talked to my doctor about it, ended up weaning off my medications, and I did start to get better. But there was still, I still had issues, you know, hair falling out, joint pain, all fatigue, migraine, all the stuff that I'm like, there's something missing. And that's when I'm like, I think I need to take this a step further. And I'd been seeing a lot, because I'm an avid YouTube fan, started to seeing Dr. Berry and a few other people talk about this carnivore. And I'm like, oh, curious. And so now here I am. I really made that transition to carnivore. And the longer I'm on it, and when I have a little slip, I'm like, oh, yeah. This is the life for me. Carnivore is now. I identify as being carnivore. I'm a carny girl, so.
Wow, that's awesome. So can you elaborate a little bit on your IBD that you had, the Cronkite Canada syndrome, and kind of what that actually is?
Right. So it is an autoimmune disease, and it is very similar to Crohn's disease. In my case, because Crohn's affects, you know, the small intestine and the large intestine as well. Mine was in my stomach. My initial clinician, he stuck the camera down me and said, wow, Ingrid, I see stomachs every day. Your stomach looks like hamburger. And I'm like, oh, that can't be good. It was tiny little polyps. There must have been like 100 in there. And then I had all these weird folds and polyps all through my ileum, all the way down, like right from one end of me to the other. And those polyps were really super scary. They were taking biopsies, and the pathologist was like, oh, this lady needs to have her colon removed. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound fun.
No.
I mean, it could have happened. I was expecting my doctor to send in the colorectal surgeon. He's like, well, we thought about it. It was horrendous. Looking back now, I can see how the symptoms kind of crept up, and I just put it down to maybe perimenopause, stress. I realized that my diet was rubbish because, like most other people, I followed the standard American diet, which is sad. We all know it's sad.
Right.
A lot of processed foods, a lot of, you know, a lot of junk, you know, just the stress of being a mom and doing all the mom things. And it caught up with me. It caught up with me. The symptoms, it started off as like, I thought I've just got kindergarten gastro. My son was in kindergarten. I'm like, oh, I've just picked up, you know, I'm around kids with dubious hand washing skills. And then after a week, I'm like, I went to my doctor and he's like, no, this is not gastro. This is not stomach flu. You need to see a GI. So I'm like, okay. The worst part of this was obviously, and you know, I'm going to get gross, horrendous vomiting and diarrhea. I'd be like 15 times a day running to the bathroom. My kids would say, Mom, where are you? And I'm like, I'm in my office. Oh, mommy's in her office again, you know, sitting there and vomiting into a bucket at the same time. It was just explosive and horrendous. My hair was falling out. I would wake up in the morning and the pillow would be covered with hair. I'd get into the shower and it would just come out. Obviously, it's grown back nicely now.
Oh, my goodness.
Carnivore. And it was just migraines, just my fingernails were all ridged and started peeling off. I remember sitting there one day and I'm like looking at my toe and I'm just like, I peeled off my toenail. I'm like, that's curious. Like, I don't think that should happen. I would get sweaty when I ate. It was just all of the things. And I'm like, this is terrible. I ended up being admitted to the hospital several times. They put me on, you know, IV fluids. They put me on magnesium and potassium. Those potassium infusions, oh, they hurt like heck. Basically, by the time I saw the clinician, of course, it takes 3 months to get an appointment, doesn't it, with a specialist?
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? And so really the only way to fast track it is go to the ER and then they just patch you up and say, you need to follow up with a gastroenterologist. And I'm like, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Captain Obvious, thank you.
Mm.
But yeah, it was, my doctor described me as metabolically bankrupt. Everything was crashing. Everything was crashing. I was so close in the end to having complete organ failure. Because just from a metabolic standard, everything was in the toilet.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was dire. It was dire. My local clinician here, you know, he ended up calling my husband at the time and calling him into his office and said, you know what, Ingrid's got about 6 weeks before that's it. We started calling around all the hospitals and everything, and I ended up getting into see a fantastic doctor down in Southern California. And he did save me. He finally was able to give me a diagnosis because we went back and forth. Crohn's, not Crohn's, Crohn's, not Crohn's. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, without a diagnosis, you can't get treatment because the insurance companies need that little code. They're not going to cover any treatments without that code to say you have Crohn's. And we kind of looked at it, but my doctor or the pathologist like, yeah, but it's not Crohn's. It looks like some weird mutation of Crohn's. And by that point, I was a skeleton. I weighed 110 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm 5'3", but that was, my bones were sticking out. You could see my rib bones. My hair was just like I was having bald patches. It was just, I couldn't function. And I had little kids. My kids were like 5 and 7. And I'm like, oh my God, what is happening here? I was terrified. So by the time I got to this amazing doctor, he's like, I think I know what's wrong with you. And I'm like, I don't care what it is. I don't care what you call it. Just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up being in the hospital for 9 days. He was worried. He was sweating. He's like, I'm really sorry, Ingrid. I know you've got kids at home and a family, but I don't know when you're going to be leaving the hospital. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to leave the hospital, but will it be in a body bag? And that's where we're at. I was just so metabolically bankrupt. I was in horrific pain. I was getting, you know, the drugs. I mean, they were pumping Dilaudid into me, and that's like a hardcore drug. Mm-hmm. I was on that for a long time. The pain was just absolutely indescribable. I couldn't keep water down. I mean, that's how diet was. I couldn't keep water down. Whew. Finally they diagnosed me. They put me on TPN. So I had my little bag of lipids. They put a port in me because I couldn't eat anything. And the idea was to put me on an extended fast. And of course, fasting, the whole fascinating world of fasting is like, that's another whole topic. But I needed to give everything a rest. And so they put me on the nutrition. And I didn't eat solid food for 6 months.
Wow.
Took about 3 months for the TPN to really kind of kick in and get me, they had to get me stable. They couldn't then throw, you know, chemo or biologics at me until I was metabolically a bit more stable, until I had some proper nutrition, because I was wasting away.
Mm-hmm.
But they did that. And then they started me on the biologics. And, you know, it's for, there's a place for it. I was in a critical, life-threatening, you know, situation. And my doctor afterwards, he said, yeah, I thought maybe 3 years, best case scenario, 50% reduction of symptoms, may or may not end up with a baggie. Don't know.
Mm.
They helped. But for that 6 months, I was doing a prolonged fast, kind of. And looking back, it's so obvious I was on a carnivore. That's what I was doing, was carnivore. Mm-hmm. All I had was chicken broth. Chicken broth. Chicken broth. Then I was able to graduate to just scrambled eggs. And so this is a prolonged fast and really doing carnivore. And then when I started eating solid food again, it was meat and eggs. That's all. And it's so obvious to me now, 10 years later, I'm like, oh, if I only knew then what I know now. And of course, as I started to feel better, what did I do, Adam? What did I do?
Go right back to it. As most things do.
Right back to the standard American diet. And it was okay. The drugs worked until they didn't. Until I started to feel like absolute crap again and the symptoms were coming back. So what did the doctors do when your symptoms come back? They up the dose of the drugs. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way. You know, I had all of the inflammatory symptoms, even though the drugs had put me into clinical remission. And that was a miracle unto itself. That was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to do the work. I had to believe. It's like, I'm not going to have a limiting belief that this drug is not going to work. Because I talk to patients all the time. They've been on all the different biologics. Oh, none of it works. And I'm like, well, you kind of got to have that mindset that this is going to help me. You've got to step up and do your part. At least that's what it was like with me. I have to do my part. I believed it worked. But then I kind of missed the boat on the nutrition side. Because I asked my doctor, well, what can I eat? He's like, anything you can tolerate. And I'm like...
I can't tolerate anything.
What you can tolerate, because I know for me, and I talk to a lot of people about this, the symptoms creep up so slowly that you don't realize, okay, I have all these like gas, bloating, pain. I've got, you know, like lower back pain, my joints hurt, my skin is all scathed, all these things, gums bleeding, all of these symptoms which go hand in hand with being metabolically bankrupt and having systemic inflammation. And even though we were just kind of looking at my guts and my stomach, that was gone. Yay. I wasn't going to die anymore. It's like, it's a miracle. My doctor couldn't believe it. He's like, what? So that was really great. But then I missed the boat. I like went back to eating all the crap because I'm like, I'm fine now. My doctor said I can eat anything.
Wow.
So it got to that point.
At that point, which drug were you on at that point?
I was on Remicade.
Remicade.
I was on Remicade, which is the gold standard of treatment for Crohn's disease.
Okay.
It's very typical. I mean, there's a lot of different ones. And now, 10 years later, there's all these bioidenticals and there's a lot more available. Some, you know, hospitals and, you know, like big healthcare systems will use the bioidenticals. They kind of stick to one. They looked at chemo and then decided, no, we'll try with the Remicade. And look, it was a miracle drug. It was a miracle drug. The message that I was given on no uncertain terms is, you have to take this for the rest of your life or the disease will come back. And I'm like, okay, I just accepted it. And I had all of the side effects. Well, not all of them. I didn't develop leukemia. They don't tell you that. You could develop leukemia if you're on Remicade.
Not good.
For a long time. But it was like that or certain death. So I'm like, I'll take my chances. But I, you know, I had a lot of the side effects because it suppresses your immune system because this is an autoimmune disease. You know, I was getting staph infections. I had shingles on my face. I had migraines. I had fatigue. I then went from 110 pounds. My weight ballooned because I had chronic fatigue. I had I had massive amounts of candida. There are serious side effects with these drugs. And again, they saved me. But long-term use, 5 years later, I hit 200 pounds. I went from being what they called an accidental anorexic because I just couldn't eat food. I'm like, I can't eat it. I would try to introduce vegetables again. And I'd be like, oh, and even, you know, one of the fellows on my team was like, Ingrid, just don't eat salad vegetables. Just don't eat vegetables. Because it was too painful. I'm like, this is horrible. And eventually I did. But for a long time, I was on that carnivore protocol. I just didn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was on Remicade and it did work, but it had side effects and there are consequences. And what they told me is you have to be on this drug forever. And I accepted it because that's what we do. Doctors are gods. I'm going to believe them until I'm like, well, it's worth a shot because they were upping my drugs and I was starting to get some symptoms again and all the unpleasant ones. And I'm like, yeah, there's got to be another way. It's worth trying. And that's when I discovered keto. And this was, you know, like 5 years ago when it was all like exploding as, you know, this is. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to try it because I got nothing to lose. And then I'm like, oh, and my doctor was like, I went in for, you know, my annual checkup, cameras, you know, meeting in the middle. And he's like, so keto, huh? And I was in the clinic and I had a t-shirt that said keto AF. And he was just like, oh, and I'm like, your doctor wasn't really taking me seriously. And I'm okay, well, you see for yourself. My labs were normal. And I said to him, well, if I was just a patient coming in off the street for regular screenings for colonoscopies and you saw my labs, would you have known how close to death I was? And he's like, no. There's some science here. This isn't just some, you know, spontaneous remission, they like to call it. I'm like, no. And so the more I got into the keto lifestyle, I'm like, I'm never going back. I mean, of course I've slipped. And when I slip, I just like, it takes me 3 days to recover from eating broccoli, Brussels sprouts. Oh my God, they're little bombs of death, little death bombs. I'm like, oh, I just get cramping thinking about it.
Right. Yeah, Brussels sprouts smell like bombs of death.
And I'm trying to dress them up with bacon and things like that. And I'm like, you know, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore. But it's curious to me that we go along and we do what the doctor says. Take this medication. I see that right now with Ozempic and I'm like, oh God, please. And it's just shocking. It's like they say you have to take this drug forever and you just accept it. And then they keep upping it and upping it. And what do you do? There was no talk discussion about nutrition other than what can I eat? Anything you can tolerate. Well, I can tolerate a lot, but is it going to reverse my disease? Because that's what I was looking at. And that was ultimately, I want to get off this Remicade because they told me it would be a life sentence. Well, this is a shitty life. I'm sorry, I said bad word. I was missing out on so much. I had the nanny to help take care of the children. I missed out on so much of their childhood because I was sick in bed. Right. I would have the infusions and I would have them on a Friday so that I could have the weekend to just stay in bed and recover. So that their father could look after them, put on SpongeBob. It wasn't compatible with having a life that I could actually enjoy. I missed my father's funeral in Australia because I was too sick to go. And it's like the fear of like, well, what if I end up getting an infection or something like that? And I end up in a hospital. You know, it's like, oh, we're driven by fear. Got to take the medicine or you'll die. And I accepted that until I didn't. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and I'm like, well, really? And once I started the ketogenic lifestyle, I'm like, it was actually my acupuncturist who said, Ingrid, you can get off the Remicade. You know, you can. And I was fearful. What if it comes? Because then they scare you with like, well, if you go off a drug like Remicade and take a break and then you go back on it, it might not work. Well, they were testing, you know, because it's like it might not. So you have to try a different drug. And I'm like, there's a bunch of other ones. But it's like it got to the point where they were testing my blood because you have to have blood work when you do a drug like Remicade, because it's processed by your liver and it can be really, liver enzymes that kind of get elevated. I had fatty liver and I'm like, gee, I wonder why that is. What? Because of the highly processed carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I have to wonder what effect the Remicade had, because it's processed through your liver. And my liver was going, oh, can't handle this.
Wow.
And I'm like, I don't know that I want to live like this. And so I asked my doctor, I said, well, what are my chances? And he said, well, you've got an 80% chance of your disease coming back if you stop the medications, if you stop the infusions. And I'm like, awesome. I said, that means there's a 20% chance it won't. And he's looking at me like, are you a crazy person? I'm like, no. You can send me for a consult with your top psychiatrist. I am not crazy like this. Okay. Because I was already on the ketogenic diet and I was always already talking to him, let's wean me off the meds. And I promise, if we get down to a point where I'm on a low dose and the symptoms come back, I will be the first to say, okay, let's up it again. I said, but let's see what happens. I'm willing to take that risk if you are. This is I'm all about informed consent when it comes to medications. Because most doctors don't even say what the side effects. They did tell me, they did sit me down to their credit and I had an hour long conversation about side effects. Wow. So that's unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, okay, well, where'd you get this stat from? What makes you say that there's an 80% chance of the disease coming back? Even though I'm thrilled with 20%, I'll take those odds to Vegas because I should already be dead. I'm good with that. And he's like, well, I did a clinical trial. And I'm like, of course he does. He's in a major teaching hospital. He's highly intelligent. He's a genius. He saved my life. So I have a huge amount of respect for the treatment that I received. And I'm like, well, wait a second. So you did a clinical trial. So that's how you got these stats, 80%. And I'm like, well, let me just, I have some clarifying questions. I said, well, out of all the people in your trial, how many infusions did they have? Because that's important. I was on this drug for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5.5 years by the time I weaned off it. And he's like, oh, they were on it for a few months. And I'm like, wait. Don't you think that's an important variable that I've had 35 infusions and the patients in your trial only had, what, 3? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, that's kind of a difference because they may not have had enough time to really fully become in remission and not just be in clinical remission, but to remain in clinical remission. Because I was always in clinical remission, which is the disease has gone from my intestines, but all the rest of it, the systemic inflammatory issues, though they were still thriving, right?
Right.
At kind of only half which. And I'm like, okay, so this is a big difference. I've been on this drug and been in clinical remission for 5 years, and you're comparing me to a patient in your trial who's been on it for 3 months. I'm like, that's an important variable. It's like, oh, okay, you raise a very interesting question. And I'm like, okay, did those patients in your trial, did they change their lifestyle? Did they set aside the pizza and the beer? Did they get up off the couch? Did they start doing some kind of movement? Did they move their bodies? Did they change their nutrition? Did they give up the highly processed carbohydrates and processed foods and gluten? Oh, God, don't even get me started on gluten, especially the industrial farm gluten. I think it's the glyphosate, which is like one of the biggest issues. It's so toxic.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, why would we track that information? I'm like, oh, look, help me here. And I'm like, well, you're comparing me to the patients in your trial who are nothing like me. How could you possibly give this kind of prediction when I'm completely different from the patients in your trial? He's like, you do raise some very interesting questions. And I'm like, okay, so are you going to go with me on this? Do I have your blessing? Because he knew I was going to do it anyway.
Right.
And the rest is history. So I became so like, enraged but excited at the same time, because it doesn't have to be like this. And looking back, I probably could have quit the drugs after 3 years, but I was gripped by fear. That fear of, no, you have to take the drugs. And I don't believe it's the fault of the doctors. They simply, they're human beings and they don't know what they don't know. They go to medical school and they're lucky if they get a couple of weeks on nutrition. You know, they're not taught. And for a specialist like a gastroenterologist, you would think that nutrition would be up there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it should be number one.
But they don't know. They're trained to. And again, it's not. I'm so thankful for my doctor. He saved my life. And I do believe the treatments worked. However, it didn't have to be a life sentence. It didn't have to. And they are necessary. But it's like doctors are trained to diagnose and prescribe and cut you open.
Right.
It's not a holistic process. And it's interesting because at one point I'm like, well, I collect doctors. I had my gastroenterologist. I saw a rheumatologist. I had an ENT because I was having all these issues. You just don't realize they're all related. You know, I was on blood pressure medication. I had so many different doctors. I had so many different doctors that I was collecting. And they don't see how everything is related. And it all comes down to metabolic health. That's my belief. That's what I've seen. That's the research. All of the experts out there that I listen to. Yeah, it's like we need to treat the body as a whole and we need to do the work in here. It's like we place limiting beliefs on ourselves that it's especially with, you know, as I dig deeper into carnivore and I really love this lifestyle. It's like I get people saying, but it's so restrictive. And I'm like, you know what's restrictive, Adam? What was restrictive was having a nanny raise my children because I was too sick to function. I couldn't take them to the park. I couldn't take them to the beach.
Absolutely.
I couldn't get on a plane and attend my own father's funeral because I was so ill. I mean, that's sad. You know what's that's restrictive. You know what's hard? It's like, oh, but it's so hard to give up these foods. And I'm like, you know what's hard? Being in chronic pain and taking bucket loads of a drug like Dilaudid, of having a port. And being stuck every 8 weeks and have these infusions that end up giving me shingles on my face and staph infections. Mm-hmm. That's hard. That is hard, not being able to get out of bed. Pick your heart. And it's a limiting belief. Oh, this is never going to work. Well, of course it's not going to work. If you have those kind of limiting beliefs, Adam, it's not going to bloody work. It's just not going to work. You've got to get to work in here and you've got to go back and say, how did I get here? Because these kind of chronic illnesses and metabolic dysfunction does not happen overnight. Mm. It creeps up and it creeps up. And I didn't realize how crappy I was feeling until I started to feel better. And then I'm like, oh, what is this? It's amazing. And so when I talk to people about the carnivore diet, and I've kind of like been in the closet, but now I'm coming out. I'm coming out as a carny girl, you know, and it's been an evolution from keto to carnivore. And I think that's what a lot of people do. It's like keto is great, but up until a point, then it was kind of like, I'm just kind of circling here. I need to kind of level up. And this was the obvious thing. And it's been a lot easier transferring for me and for a lot of people I talk to kind of go from keto then to carnivore or ketovore and just kind of, you know, because I went back and forth. I tried it a few times and then I'm like, oh, what is this? Now I realize it was oxalate dumping. For anyone who knows about oxalate dumping, and I've done a lot of research, and I'm like, oh, that's what, because I wasn't doing it properly, because there's a way to do it. It's like with keto, keto doesn't work. I'm like, well, first of all, it's a limiting belief that I know you're having food sneaking in there. Oh, but it keeps me in ketosis. Yeah, that may be true, but it's not addressing your metabolic health. And you need to go back and figure out, how did I get here? What trauma was it that got me to be obese and metabolic dysfunctional, which is what leads to all these diseases of modern civilization.
Absolutely.
Right? You've got to go back and see where it started. And so I'm like, I had to do that work and it took me years to do that work and to really understand the importance of reframing. So when I talk about carnivore, it's like, but it's so restrictive. I'm like, no, let's reframe that. Adam, it's simple. It's a very simple way of eating. I don't have to decide. What am I going to make for dinner? I just stick the ribeye in the air fryer and I'm good to go. Or in my cast iron pan, I'm good to go. I have my half a dozen scrambled eggs in the middle of the day, slathered with butter, and I'm good.
Right.
Slathered bacon, I'm good.
I'm right there with you.
I'm crazy. And I'm like, well, look at me. Look at my labs. Look, I'm going to be 53 in January. I'm in the best shape of my life. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It's just been like this huge weight. And it's like I have taken my power back. And it's been through this lifestyle. Because without your health, you have nothing. You've got nothing. My life was crap. I hated myself. I was just miserable. I was spinning my wheels. I was depressed and anxious and everything. And now I'm like, wow. And I'm starting off my 50s. I'm like, yes, let's do this. It's like, you know, turning 50 was like, I was dancing on the tables. I wasn't afraid of it.
Right. Time to get going.
Right. I've been embracing it. It's like, I feel like a teenager again. It's like, okay, menopause was kind of like, I'm done. Looking back, I could see, particularly when I had active disease, I'm looking at, well, what were the symptoms of menopause that were kind of exacerbating everything? It's, again, it's this holistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gynecologist says, oh, take a patch. And I'm like, tried that. Oh, let me get back on really hardcore keto and then kind of moving towards the carnivore. And it's just helped. There's layer after layer after layer that everything is connected. And once I let go of, you know, even the vegetables, you know, I love cruciferous vegetables, but now that I'm doing pretty much carnivore all the time, if I sneak some broccoli in there, I just want to die. If I sneak some sugar in there, it's like at the holidays, it's like, I'm going to have a little bit of a taste of a sugary dessert. No, I will now have like a massive headache, migraine for several days. And I'm kind of really moving more towards only meat because I was doing the cheese and the other things. And I'm like, yeah, my sinuses would be packed. And I'm just really more in tune with my body as to what foods are not helping. So I'm kind of moving from, you know, carnivore where you can have any animal products to just basically eggs, butter, bacon, beef. Not a big fan of chicken.
Right.
Doesn't sit well with me. I mean, turkey at Thanksgiving, I'm like, you know, blood turkey.
I don't either. It tastes like cardboard.
I used to eat it all the time and I used to love it. But then it's like I was just inflamed and just feeling like garbage all the time. And then, of course, I drink a lot of wine. I haven't had alcohol since this is month 8 now. No alcohol. I'm never going back. It's just another layer of all these toxic foods that we eat. I'm like, I don't need it. It's just interesting when I do have something that is not carnivore. Mm-hmm. And even though, okay, I'm going to have a cheat day and have broccoli. That's a cheat day for me. And I'm like, it's just sometimes it's unavoidable, you know, Rare occasions, but there's ways to get around it. Again, it's a mindset. Or I'm going to this holiday party or I'm going to like someone's baby shower or whatever. I can't, you know, I'm just going to eat whatever. And I'm like, no, it's a mindset. It's a commitment. Because if you allow yourself to kind of, okay, it doesn't matter. It's just one time. Yeah. And for some people, it's okay. You know, they can get right back on it and I can get right back on it. But for me, it's like, I've got to stick with it. Like I've made a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
This is my life now and I've made a commitment. And so to have a cheat day is doing me a disservice and it's going to set me back. And then I'm going to feel like rubbish. I'm going to have a headache or my shoulder's going to hurt or my gums are going to start bleeding or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. And I feel like I've learned so much these last 10 years has been such a massive transformation, which is why I'm so passionate. I'm coming out of the closet now. This is like, I'm officially coming out. I am coming out as a carnivore and I'm proud of it. Now, is it for everybody? No. Why isn't it for anybody? For everybody? Because of those limiting beliefs and the misinformation. Oh, butter and all that animal fat, that's going to give you a heart attack. No. What's going to give you a heart attack is the beer and the pizza and the donuts and all the crappy food, all the gluten and all that, you know, the industrial farm food. That's what's going to give you a heart attack. I went to my cardiologist. He's like, oh, you know, your cholesterol is high. And I'm like, okay, cholesterol. Let's break it down. Okay, so my triglycerides are all high. I'm fat adapted. Okay, they weren't a lot high, but what did he say? You need to take Lipitor. And I'm like, oh, please. And so I said to him, well, send me off for a calcium aortic scan. Just a little ultrasound of your heart to see what crud is building up your arteries. And he's like, oh, we don't normally recommend that because insurance won't cover it. And I'm like, send me the referral. I can pay the bill. It was like $135. Are you freaking kidding me? That was absurd. I'm like, I think I can afford that for a test that will show I don't need a statin.
Right.
So I get the test done. That his nurse calls me because he's too chicken shit to call me himself. And she said, well, I got your results and you scored at zero. And I'm like, okay, so there is no crud in my arteries. Oh, but he still wants you to take Lipitor.
What?
And it's, I love the warning, or it's not even a warning. It's just in the tiny little print that you can't read that says Lipitor has a 1% efficacy. And I'm like, what? Say what, man? You want me to take a drug that has horrendous potential side effects that, how do you know I'm going to be the one in 100 who is going to benefit from this? I'm like, no. And he just like doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear it. And I'm like.
1% efficacy. I mean, that's a travesty.
Oh, the statins are up there with Ozempic right now. And I talk to people all the time. Oh, I'm taking Ozempic. And I'm like, well, do you have full-blown type 2 diabetes? Because that can help. But it's like, no. And I'm like, well, I've gotten pre-diabetes. And it's like, well, why did your doctor put you on it? Oh, because that's what they do. And I'm like, did your doctor have a conversation with you about nutrition? Because, yeah, I understand some people are on these medications. I'm like, well, don't stop taking them. But you can work with your doctor and nutrition and lifestyle to get off them. But it's like, no, I'm just going to take the pill. It's easier. I'm like, it's not going to stop the disease or reverse the disease. It may slow it down. But do you want to have needles in your eyes? Do you want your toes amputated? How about dialysis? Doesn't that sound super fun? And they're like, what? That's what diabetes is going to do to you if you don't reverse it. And their doctors never take, you know, never do that. I mean, I was full-blown type 2 diabetes. No doctor even diagnosed it. It was the pathologist who put on my labs, oh, pre-diabetes. And then it's like, yeah, this patient needs medication, you know, on the lab form, because I'm the kind of patient who reads the lab forms. I read the results. I download them. I'm like, oh, here we go. Because I'm like, I'm not going to be sucking into the BS of Western medicine. Take a pill. You're a little high. Okay. So take a pill. No. I talked to so many people on synthetic human insulin and Ozempic and metformin and all the drugs. I'm like, especially Ozempic, did your doctor explain to you the side effects? And they're like, no. Did they explain to you that this drug has been linked to thyroid cancer? What? No. Did your doctor tell you that you need to really watch your nutrition? You know, they just go and have a Big Mac and that's all they eat. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's so frustrating. I've just learned so much over the years, you know. Yeah, it's like, okay, so I had this life-threatening inflammatory bowel disease, but metabolically, I was still really dysfunctional, and we didn't address that as the root of the problem. What is at the root of all these chronic diseases?
Yeah, absolutely.
Metabolism.
It seems like it's connected with almost every disease, for sure.
I absolutely 100% believe that. And it's not just physical disease as well. It's mental and emotional. It's anxiety. It's depression. It's bipolar. It's all of the things. And I've been to some of these conferences where these patients have come up on the stage and they've managed to get off all their SSRI antidepressants. They've been able to get off all of their mood stabilizers, off all of their, you know, hardcore drugs. And I'm like, this is amazing. If it can happen for one person, it can happen for others. But it's a mindset. It's a mindset. You've got to be all in. You've got to really believe it. And you've got to really, really, really want it and be prepared to do the work. Because it's work. It is hard work. But it pays off. And this has been a 10-year journey for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's rewind a little bit. So you're off the Remicade, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've been off it for... This is coming up to, it's like 4.5 years now I've been off the Remicade.
Okay, awesome. And that was due in part to what you believe to be the ketogenic/carnivore lifestyle, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, and it did come back after I kind of did the extended fasting. I was on the TPN, the lipids every night. Oh, that was fun. Hooking up my own, you know, IV bag. My son really loved it. He liked to flush my line, and I gave the kids things because I wanted it to, like, them not to be freaked out about it. But it's like, looking back now, it's like, yeah, I was pretty much fasting and on carnivore for a long time. I mean, when I started eating foods, it was pretty much eggs and meat. That's all I could, you know, ground beef. I did eat some chicken then. That's all I could eat for about a year. And, you know, when I started to reintroduce the vegetables, and then it was a slippery slope. I'll just eat anything now. I just go back to the standard American diet. So I didn't really appreciate how important that carnivore lifestyle was. I didn't click because there wasn't a lot of information about it. Even, you know, like 10 years ago, I mean, it really about 5 years ago when I discovered keto, that was when it was kind of booming. But there was a lot of misinformation. Oh, keto doesn't work. It's because you're not doing it properly. Any of these protocols, you need to do it properly.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just half-ass it because it's not going to work. And so, you know, then I got sick again because I hadn't learned the lesson. And I say that the universe is going to keep giving you that same lesson over and over and over again until you finally learn it. And I'm like, oh, geez, I've had enough of this lesson. And so, and so now I understand how to do the carnivore protocol correctly. I'm feeling a lot better about it. I mean, am I still having some issues here and there? Because I'm still getting rid of the oxalates and I've, you know, done a lot of research and everyone's going to be different. For me, it's like to kind of have a few little oxalate foods in there just a little bit to try and mitigate some of those unpleasant side effects. But I'm like, you got to push through it, people. You just got to push through it. It may be a little uncomfortable for a couple of weeks. Or again, everyone's different. We're all bio-individual and we're all dealing with different illnesses. But I'm like, push through it. So worth it. And it's like people say, but don't you miss this and that? I'm like, sometimes yes, but what I don't miss is how it made me feel. I don't miss that at all. I don't miss that at all. I'm like, I get to eat bacon and ribeyes. Shucks. And butter. And it's I'm sitting in there and I'm like, I'm slicing off the pieces of butter. I don't do that as much as I used to. I kind of, you know, kicked back on that a little bit. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just going to sneak a little bit of butter. And it's like, my family's like, are you eating butter again? I'm like, yeah. And sometimes it's like, because I have a big meal in the middle of the day, I'm kind of, that's, you know, metabolically, I know that's when I'm going to be able to digest it more effectively. And then sometimes at night, I'll just have a little piece of butter and I'm good. And then I wake up in the morning and my blood sugar is awesome. You know, my blood ketones are awesome. I mean, it's just, I just am so even and I sleep better. I'm happier. My pants are getting looser again. I don't use the scale because that's just, she is not your friend. She's going to undermine your confidence and she is not an accurate measurement of your health. And I just like, when I go to the doctor, went to my OBGYN and the nurse is like, get on the scale. I'm like, no, I'm good. She's like, no, you gotta let's go. I'm like, no, I don't. She's like, okay. I don't need to do that.
Right.
Because it's like, well, you can just close your eyes. We don't have to tell you. And I'm like, no, you're missing the point. You're missing the point.
Right. Absolutely. So you alluded to it in terms of what you eat. So what's a typical day look like for you?
A typical day. Now, I do drink coffee. I drink black coffee because I mean, the coffee, I'm trying to cut back a little bit. Will I give it up? I don't know. But my coffee in the morning, on the weekends, I'll treat myself to a little cream in the coffee. But usually I'll have the black coffee in the morning and then I will not eat until usually between midday and 2 o'clock because I'm just not hungry. And the way this is what works for me is that I will eat when I'm hungry. And if I'm not hungry, I don't need to eat. And if I'm not hungry in the evening, I don't need to eat. It's not necessary because it usually happens when I've had a few good days of really packing in the nutrient-dense food that then I have a few days where I'm not really that hungry. And that's okay. I say to people, you don't have to eat just because this is what we've been conditioned. We need breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We need snacks. I mean, we do this for our kids. Oh, they've got to eat a snack every 2 hours. I'm like, no, they don't. Let's give them a bowl of Cheerios or let's give them a fruit roll up and let's go to McDonald's and get the apple slices and the apple juice. And I'm like, the apple slices that have been soaked in bleach and the apple. And I'm like, oh, please. I mean, I used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do it when I was pregnant. I would drink like 2 Diet Cokes in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, but you know, I know now and I can help other people to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's so I usually have my black coffee. I'll often have like between 4 and 6 eggs is how I like to break my fast. And of course, I'm very picky with my eggs. It's like, that's the one thing I like to say to people. Okay, if you're going to spend the money on any particular ingredient, I would say it's the eggs. pasture-raised organic. And people say, well, what's the difference? And I'm like, well, the difference is how much room they have. It's like that cage-free, they may be in a pasture, but they only have as much room as a wingspan. And I'm like, that sounds awful. But pasture-raised, they get 100 square feet per hen. And I'm like, I'll have that. And you can see, and people are like, my family, like, oh, what's wrong with those eggs? They're like a weird orange color. I'm like, that's because their yolks are awesome. You know that that hen has been fed proper food for a hen. And so I'm like, I would rather spend, it's just a couple of extra bucks, $3 extra for those high quality eggs. I mean, like, are you crazy? I would spend, you know, $10 a day at Starbucks. I'm like, that's bonkers. Why would, it's a mindset. You've got to really turn those limiting beliefs upside down. So for eggs, sometimes I'll put a little cheese in them, or I like those bacon crumbles that you get in the big bags. I put those in there, like always in my fridge. Eggs and butter. And I will eat sometimes 6 eggs and I don't even think twice about it. And, you know, I remember back in the day, my grandfather saying you can only have 2 boiled eggs a day because, you know, the cholesterol is bad for you. And I'm like, oh, we all know that's a bunch of things. No, that's a bunch of malarkey. So I'm not going to do that. So that's kind of my favorite thing. I will sometimes throw some sausage or some egg in there. I'm going to some bacon in there because I'm like bacon. Bacon all day, every day. Well, I get to eat bacon every day. And then my most common, you know, I eat beef a lot. I will make burger patties, and I like the frozen ones that you can get that are pasture-raised, organic, grass-finished. I keep a ton of those in my freezer. I can just stick those in a pan or in the love the air fryer with extra butter. I'll eat a couple of those. Ground beef. I do a lot of ground beef. There's my favorite meal that I saw. There was a TikToker who was doing it. This is good. Ground beef. And then I put in a bit of the beef bone broth. I love that. A little salt, pepper. And then I get the egg and I whisk the egg and then I just kind of drizzle it in like a egg drop soup. I make a big batch of that and then I put it in the fridge and I'm good for a few days. Like, that is a substantial meal for me. Like, I'm not hungry after eating that. And of course, ribeye. I could eat ribeye all day, every day. I like a filet mignon. If I'm at a high-end steakhouse, I'll order the filet and they'll say, how do you want that cooked? And I'm like, I should be able to resuscitate it when you bring it out. I used to enjoy a glass of Cabernet or something, but I've given up the alcohol because I just feel like a million times better. So I'm a big beef girl. Beef, bacon, eggs, butter. That's the pink salts. I do obviously like my black coffee. All weekends I will put a little cream in there. And I do some exogenous ketones from time to time if I feel like I need a little bit more energy rather than going for the caffeine in the afternoon. I'll go for some exogenous ketones. And they've been really helpful for me. Now, people say, oh, I can't afford the ketones. Well, you don't need to. You can accomplish this without exogenous ketones or anything like that. But that's typically what I need. Beef, butter, bacon, eggs.
Awesome. I love it. I'm right there with you.
Cool. It's simple. I don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I'm a very simple person. I don't look at food as a reward. I used to, but not anymore. And this is so simple that I don't have to think about what to eat. It's ready very, very quickly. And I don't have to put much time into it and I can get to doing other things. So.
Exactly. And I'm a big fan of cook once, eat multiple times. Like if I'm going to cook one ribeye, I'll cook two and then I've got it. You know what I mean? And it's like some of the other things that I prep, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll cook the sausage. Oh my God. I'll put them on the barbecue, then I've got them. It's just grab and go. The boiled eggs. I do like to have the big packages of pre-boiled organic eggs. I grab them. If I'm like really on the go and I need something, I'll grab those. I used to eat a lot of cheese. I'm really cutting back on that because for me, it does cause issues with my sinuses and it's not conducive to fat loss. And would I like to lose an extra 15, 20 pounds? Sure. Am I married to the outcome? No. What I'm all about is my energy levels, my sleep, my metabolic health. Absolutely. And not crop wood. I now identify as being completely reversed. I'm no longer in clinical remission. I mean, that's a curious thing. It's like, well, at what point do you consider yourself reversed? Like, you're in remission, but how long can you enjoy clinical remission and absence of all symptoms and metabolically healthy? At what point, what's the timeline?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's almost like putting a spell on you by even making that suggestion. It's almost like leaving the door open to start eating like crap again. And here it comes back, you know, like, yeah, I agree with you. At what point, how long does it have to be gone before you can say that it's gone or it's healed or
I'm reversed?
Yeah.
You don't like to say the C word. Let's say cured, because that's like, unacceptable. Right. Well, no, I said I've completely reversed my disease. Metabolically, if you were to look at all my labs and everything, stick a camera down there, you would have no idea how close to death I was.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. And so that is like, yeah, this isn't some fad diet. This is a lifestyle that I've adopted and I'm committed to it. And I try to educate as many people. I'm now getting my daughter onto this because, you know, she's had a lot of health issues. And I'm like, yeah, she's starting to adopt it now. And she realizes that the sugar and the processed foods do not help her. And it's just, yeah, it's like, oh, but she's so young. No, I know babies could, but it's interesting because it's like, okay, when babies are born, they're in naturally a state of ketosis. It's not until we give them the rice cereal on the, oh, sweet potato. Let's give them sweet potato full of oxalates and sugar. No, it's like, if only I could go back. I mean, but we did all of the things. And then, you know, you put your kids on antibiotics because they have an ear infection and they have the yellow rivers of snot. And so what do we give them? More sugar and more, you know, it's like, I remember my son had rotavirus. Oh, that's horrible. He got that at preschool. Horrible. What was he eating? Red popsicles.
Right.
Because that's all he wanted. And I'm like, so I'm giving him red food dye and sugar.
Right. Well, that's what everybody wants. You know, that's what everybody wants. They want the, they're addicted to sugar. Everybody.
It's horrible. It's like, oh, I can't give up my bagels. Well, then, you know, good luck. Good luck with your diabetes. Good luck with your IBS or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. It's, you know, until you are prepared to really look hard at what you're eating. I mean, it's just, I go to Costco, I go to the grocery store, and I'm just like, oh, you know, the rows of breakfast cereal that are marketed to children.
Yes.
Oh, and it's like the moms are going to feel okay about buying this horrendous breakfast cereal because it says, oh, it's got real fruit.
Mm-hmm. Just
okay.
Because it's like, that doesn't mean that it is.
What percentage of real fruit is it?
Oh, right.
Whole grain. Let's eat the whole grain. Oh, God, the whole grains are like, oh, no. And then people say, oh, I have terrible like constipation. I'm like, well, what are you eating? But I'm eating brown rice. And I'm like, well, brown rice is actually going to spike your insulin a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but I get really constipated. And I'm like, eat all my vegetables. I'm like, well, how much fat are you eating? Oh, I don't eat fat. Are you hydrated? What color is your pee?
Right.
It's like, well, they don't eat enough fat, so it's not going to move through the colon. And they're not drinking enough water, so they've got these tiny rocks. And I'm like, well, of course they're constipated. I'm like, oh, it's just crazy. And then things like sleep. I just love, I'm being sarcastic, I go into the drugstore and I see the whole shelves full of melatonin. Oh, but it's natural, right? You shouldn't have to take melatonin for sleep disorders if you're eating properly, mm-hmm. right? And now there's like rows and rows of jars of melatonin for children. Because our children are eating sugar, they're on all these processed foods, they're on the tablets and the phones all day, so they're, you know, completely hyper. Is it any wonder your kids can't sleep? So now let's give them melatonin. And that just horrifies. I mean, I did some stupid things when I was a mom because I didn't know what I didn't know. But it's now all these things that are being marketed for children, to children and for moms. It's okay. Give your kids some melatonin. I was talking to one woman and she's like, oh, I'm just exhausted all the time and I just have no energy and I have trouble sleeping. And I'm like, are you taking anything like a supplement or knowing it? She's like, melatonin. I thought so. She was taking so much melatonin. She was taking like 10 milligrams of melatonin. I'm like, oh, no wonder you're a zombie.
Oh my goodness.
And then she was eating a lot of salad vegetables. And I'm like, why don't you switch that up? 2 weeks later, she's like,
that leads me into the next thing I wanted to talk about with you. So I hear that you're a national board certified health and wellness coach. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So, yeah, it's with all these things that I've been through and being, you know, so close to death and then bringing myself back holistically and integratively to use the medicine, but then come off it by integrating, you know, food. It was miraculous. And my friends were like, Ingrid, you look fantastic. It's like they could see me healing, having more energy. And they're like, what are you doing? Are you on some special like diet? And can you help me? And I'm like, sure, I can help you. That. Oh, can you create a Facebook group? So, and I'm like, sure. And as I continued to thrive, I was talking to my acupuncturist because I was getting a lot of acupuncture. And I would go in after a Remicade. And he's like, oh, did you just have Remicade? He's like, get on my table. It was really harsh. And I said to him, oh, you know, why me? Why did the universe pick me to have this disease? Well, the universe had nothing to do with it. It was self-inflicted. And that was really hard to acknowledge that I did this to myself. That for the majority of us with metabolic dysfunction, we did this to ourselves. Diabetes, preventable and reversible. These are the diseases of the modern society that we live in. So I had my chiropractor said, Ingrid, don't you understand that this is why you went through what you went through, that you now have a calling. You owe it to the community to pass on your knowledge. And I'm like, oh my God, because people were already asking me. And so I'm like, I'm going to do that because I'm like, well, where do I go now? What's next for me?
Mm-hmm.
And so that really motivated me to look into, you know, going back to school in my 40s. And so I did that. I went and I got my health coaching certification. It was just absolutely fascinating. One of the modules that we studied was on Ayurveda, ancient medicine from India, which is really interesting because it's like these are 5,000-year-old Sanskrit. And they're taking all the gut and brain connection and gut health. And now this is all new. No, it's not new science about gut health. It was written in this ancient Sanskrit text 5,000 years ago. I discovered the beauty of Ayurveda. And so I ended up going to Ayurveda school as well, because I really love the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm.
Food should be simple. Food is medicine. It can also be poison.
Right.
And so it's really understanding that and understanding that you need to treat your body and mind as a whole. And just because I had so many people who wanted to come to me, even though I've had my setbacks, I've learned all the hard lessons. Am I perfect? No. Do I fall off the wagon sometimes? Yes. Do I sort of slip back into these limiting beliefs? Yes. And that's why people come to me. And so I kind of got into that, into really dealing with nutrition and metabolic health and gut health as a result of not only what I've been through to pass on that knowledge, but because people kept coming to me. They come, help me, help me, help me. And so it's a really good feeling. It's like I consider myself a teacher because that's essentially what I do. I meet people where they're at and help them on their own bio-individual journey to transform their own health. And lately, I've decided to become somewhat of a health commentator because I feel very strongly that people need to actually, it's about informed consent. If you want to eat this garbage, just understand what it's going to do to you. If you think that you can take a pill or an injection and just ignore the long-term consequences, okay, be informed, be informed. And that's the big thing, is that I want to blow the lid off all of the lies and the corruption with it. I mean, it's like it goes as far as government. I mean, it's you look at who is sponsoring particular politicians. It's you follow the money and then follow the science is on the flip side. Follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to the, you know, back to the 50s and 60s with the, you know, all the industrial farming, and it's like, oh, okay. And you look at the pharmaceutical industry, they're all linked. They're all linked, right? It's like the cancer industry is $1 billion industry.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like that.
Absolutely.
Cancer used to be a rare disease.
Mm-hmm.
I have three of my siblings who've had cancer. One of them's had it twice. And I almost died from a, you know, a metabolic disease, but it's like they told me, it's like, yeah, that colon cancer, stomach cancer, if I don't do something about it, that's kind of next on the cards for me. And it's like autoimmune diseases. I hadn't heard of autoimmune diseases really much at all until I got sick myself. What is an autoimmune disease? But now it's rampant. And I see all the commercials. Like I used to watch, you know, news 24/7. I'm like, I don't do that anymore. It's just too distressing. I can't do anything about it. But it's like I would watch news channels and every other commercial was for medicine for inflammatory bowel disease or diabetes. And I'm like, there is something that is so wrong here. And again, that's why I kind of, you know, got into the coaching world because, and now I consider myself a health commentator. I'm like, I'm uncensored. I'm just going to call BS on the whole lot of it. We have been lied to. We are overprescribed. It's like when I heard that obesity has now been officially upgraded to a disease, I'm like, well, no kidding. No kidding. It's like I see that the new face of malnutrition in this country is obesity. And you would think, well, they're obese. They're getting plenty of nutrients. No, they're not. They're eating empty calories. They're eating the opposite of nutrition.
Yep,
but they don't want to hear, eat a can of sardines. They don't want to hear that. Oh, that's gross. Well, have you tried it? No, I'm not going to. Well, I mean, that's just a limiting belief. You're just shooting yourself in the foot. So I feel very strongly about getting on as many platforms as I can to really shoot down all of these lies, this misinformation. There's a lot of fear. Oh, I've got to take the drug or I'll die. No, you'll die if you take the drugs, you know, to a point. You know, again, it was like to a point. They helped me to a point. And I don't particularly want my colon removed. Thank you very much. I'm good with that. You know, so that's kind of why I feel really passionate about coaching is to help. If I can help one person, Adam, to not experience what I did, then my job is done.
I love that.
Because I went through what it was painful and it was horrific. And I lost so many years with my children and it just destroyed everything. And it didn't have to be like that. It's first of all, that accountability. I did this to myself. I did it to myself. And I was lied to. And yes, I believed all the, I thought that giving my children Oreos was a good thing. Well, not Oreos, Cheerios. And it's right. Like, yeah. And then they go for the Oreos and the Cheerios. And I was feeding my kids crap. And I'm like, oh. Well, they've both sort of seen the light. My son actually homeschooled him for about 5.5 years. And I really loved doing the health and wellness. And I taught him really well. He was cooking at a very young age. And we had these fun field trips to the grocery store. And I'm like, okay, here's the cereal aisle. Go and find me the healthiest cereal you can. And he was pretty good. He's like, well, here's the, you know, gluten-free oatmeal. And I'm like, okay, well, that's at least better than Fruit Loops. That's at least better than granola. It's organic granola. I'm like, look at how much sugar is in there. So it's like, okay, there's a lot of, you can make a really awesome choice or you can make a crappy choice. And you can make an okay choice. And so do the okay choice. It's like the eggs. If you really don't want to pay $3 or $4 more for the, you know, pasture-raised, you know, organic eggs, at least eat regular eggs. That is better than a, you know, a
Snickers bar
from Starbucks. You know what I mean? That's a good choice. And yeah. So, you know, it, just really educating people, taking what I've learned that has changed my life and has changed my family's life. You know, my son eats so clean. He eats so clean and he's like goes to the gym and he's just so fit and amazing. And again, my daughter is really starting to understand the importance of nutrition. And, you know, and again, this is kind of what I like about working with the parents because then it trickles down to their children. And I really think the only, this is just my opinion and my belief, Adam, is that the only way to stop this epidemic of metabolic disease and dysfunction is with the next generation. Then we need to teach our kids about the importance of nutrition because that's the only way we're going to break the cycle.
Absolutely.
And it's hard as a mom. I'm just like, I just want to, let's just go to the drive-thru because I want to go home and lie down. I'm exhausted. I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. I wouldn't change it for a second, but if only I knew then what I know now. But it's still not too late. I'm still educating my kids. And by educating the moms and the dads, I work with a lot of women, is then it's going to trickle down to their kids. They're going to say, okay, just because this breakfast cereal has an athlete on there endorsing this product, it's still garbage. I mean, I've seen, you know, celebrity chefs put their name and their picture on these protein bars. And I'm just like, oh, it's garbage. It's garbage. It's poison. But you're going to buy it because you're stuck it into the marketing. Oh, this celebrity chef or this athlete is on a packet of cereal. So therefore, and I've seen it, Olympians. And it's like, oh, the mums and the kids are like, I want this. Yep. And it's like, because it has whole grains or because it's heart healthy. And I love, oh, the labeling. Oh, God. It's like it can be labeled heart healthy because it contains no cholesterol, but it's full of canola oil and I'm like, or soy oil. And I'm like, oh, please. It's like so inflammatory. And people, yeah, they just don't know this. We're being lied to. And so I just feel it's so important as a health coach, but as a survivor, a warrior of this metabolic and autoimmune disease, we need to blow the lid off the corruption. Follow the money, follow the science. It's full of corruption. They're just in it to make a buck, and we're the casualties of that. And we don't know what we don't know.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I think that what you're doing with the coaching is commendable. I believe that you're going to change many lives and bring in the real information to, yes, folks, and to help with their healing and to be the, yeah, captain of their own ship moving forward. So
exactly.
Can you share with us a little bit about where people can find you?
Oh, okay. So I have a website.
Okay.
GreenGoddess.guru. That's the name of my business, is Green Goddess Health and Nutrition Coaching, which is really, it kind of extends beyond the food. It's, we need to do what's sustainable for our planet as well. And, you know, regenerative farming, and we've got to get rid of industrial farming. I know it's not going to happen overnight, but there's, you know, we need to be kind to ourselves and our planet as well. We're kind of mingled in. But I also, so you can find me online on my website. I'm on Instagram, and I'm LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook. I also have my own podcast. So you can find me there, The Holistic Health Coach, with me, your host, Coach Ingrid Uncensored. Because I'm like, this whole food industry is a bunch of BS. And I'm like blowing the lid off a lot of these things, like the whole cholesterol myth. This was something that it was just a hypothesis that was never even proven. I'm just, you know, and so I'm just kind of blowing the lid off. So you can find me online on social media.
Awesome. I love that. And I'll definitely link all of those in the description below for everybody to find you. So do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap this
up? I do. Okay. I do. And that is, you are one decision away from a completely different life. One decision. And it's a holistic decision. You can't just say, I'm going to give up grains or whatever. You are one decision that you can take control, that it is a mindset to do away with those limiting beliefs and just believe in yourself. You are one decision away from a completely different life. So I'm like, what's yours going to be? What is yours going to be?
I love that. That's awesome. That's great. A great mantra to live by. And I think many, if they heed that advice, they're going to be on the road to health and wellness.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam.
Awesome. Thank you, Ingrid. I appreciate you. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you again here in the future.
Definitely. Definitely. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, take care.
Listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web, as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also, find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.